Let's pray together because I believe this word is going to really, really bring fruit. I've prayed today that the word of God would go in our hearts, that it would manifest in a very relevant way and bring forth fruit. So let's all believe together for this. Lord God, we thank you that you are with us today, that you are mighty in this house, in this place, that your love permeates us, that your love gives us hope today. And Father, may this word that goes in every heart bring forth fruit for the saving of their soul and for the saving of others' soul. Father, I believe that this word is a timely word, it's a seasonal word, and it's a relevant word not only for our church, but also for the body of Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that the area of Milwaukee will be changed because of this that you are sharing today to your people, Lord, to help us, encourage us, and give us hope. In Jesus' name, amen. The basis for the scripture and the teaching today, the basis for everything really that we're going to be sharing, is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. If we could put that on the overhead, we'd like to start with that today. And I know that I like to really believe God with you that there will be a transformation. And as we realize this is the thing that really gives oxygen to our soul, this is going to help us to move to another level in God. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And I say that to this church, encourage one another and build one another up. Loving with our words, as Pastor Tom has been sharing about our words, loving with our words is a very important way of making people feel valuable. Loving with our words. There is probably the most important thing that we would ever do is speak. Jesus is called the Word of God, right? In John it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Lord's words are encouraging. They are uplifting. They are edifying. And I believe that being unloved, unwanted, uncared for is as much of a hunger or a poverty than having nothing to eat or nothing to wear. I really believe that. I believe that when someone is unloved, they are in a degradation, a position of terrible want. I know that the devil works very hard to make people feel unvaluable, worthless, to demote them. He works very hard in this area because of his name. What is his name? The accuser of the brethren. So we don't want to operate in the ministry of the devil. I thought about that long and hard when I said that. I said, Lord, please show us where we may be operating in the area that the enemy is operating in, because we know that the devil works hard to make people feel devalued, worthless. But this is the cool part. This is the hope that I share today. We can neutralize the effect of his lies. If we band together, we can absolutely neutralize his insinuations by building people up and by encouraging them. And one way to do this is through a sincere compliment, which is one of God's most valuable gifts in this world. A sincere compliment. One of the most important ways to stand for love is to decide, today, I am going to make someone, I'm going to make some people around me, where the people I touch, I'm going to make them feel valuable. When we say that in our mind, we dedicate to doing that, we are in the ministry of Jesus Christ because he loved everybody. He loved everyone. He believed in everyone. He never put anyone down because of what their identification was, whether it be their position in life, whether it be a prostitute, or whether it be a holy mother in a home. He loved them. He believed in them. He wanted them saved and whole. And Jesus Christ wants us to understand that when we compare ourselves with others, then we're going to fail to see our own abilities and our own worthwhileness. Can you see that light right now as I say that? When you begin to compare yourself with others, that's the beginning of your demise, because you'll begin to feel worthless, because there's always going to be somebody out there with something greater than you, something bigger than you, something more powerful than you. You know what? It's just going to be there. And so you've got to eliminate that. You've got to stop comparing and stop looking at yourself in a way in which you would put yourself in a position of lowering yourself. You've got to remember this. God believes in you. God believes in you. Making others to feel valuable, get this, is not expensive. It doesn't have to be time-consuming to make someone feel valuable. Okay? When you get yourself off your mind, this is so cool, long enough to say something good about someone, to compliment them, it doesn't cost you any money, but it gives them something more than money can buy. Offering a sincere compliment may seem like a very, very, very small thing, but it will give you tremendous strength. It will give someone tremendous strength in a time of need. When one word can throw back the dark, just one word can save them. One moment in time. I know of a fact of someone in this congregation who was about ready to commit suicide unless an angel of the Lord appeared to them and said, "I value you. You're worthwhile. You're worthwhile. You're worth something." Don't forget, we need to keep ourselves in the love of God so that we don't forget the forgotten. Because basically, every person is very lonely. Do you know that? They may feel very lonely and you don't even know it. I bet there are about half the people in this congregation right now that if I would put a show of hands, and I don't want to do that or embarrass anyone, but if I would ask for a show of hands, you'd say, "I feel lonely right now. I feel lonely." Because sometimes you may work really hard, but nobody notices, it seems. Nobody cares. How often we are pursuing our goals and we're focusing on so much of our goals that we're trying to accomplish something with our life that we don't take the time to acknowledge the people around us. Really. Nobody succeeds, though, without the help of a lot of other dedicated people. This ministry today could not have gone on without Todd Ovard playing today, without Pastor Tom playing the drums, without Laurel, without Zena giving her testimony. We work together incredibly as the body of Christ, and failing to show how much we appreciate people and give them credit for where it's due is a terrible tragedy. And that's why today, I just want to praise each and every one of you for being in your chair today, for filling your spot, for saying, "I want to be accountable. I want to be in the house of the Lord. I want to show people that God is alive, and I want to love my brothers and sisters in this body." You see, little things, we don't realize how little things are so important to God. You think, "Well, nobody's going to miss me if I don't show up for church." I will. Pastor Tom will. Probably so-and-so sitting next to you is going to notice and is not going to be as happy because you bring something to the body and to the mix that nobody else can bring. Nobody. Our responsibility is to take care of one another. And really, it was one of the major excuses that kind of, you know, infiltrated the body of Christ. You know, nobody really notices me. If I'm not there, it's not important. You know what? That has got to get, that thought right there has got to leave, because you are valuable. Because everywhere you go, you light up a room. Everywhere you go, you walk in and you bring something to the mix that nobody else can bring. Everywhere you go, you shine. And that's the value that God has in you. He's deposited his life within you. The Spirit of God lives within you. And you shine. When Lorna doesn't show up on Wednesdays, we know it. We miss her help. You know, when all of the body of Christ is working together, people can be very hungry in many ways, I've noticed. You know, we all want to eat, yes, of course. But you may have plenty of food today, but you're starving out there for encouragement or a word that would make you feel valuable. That would make you feel valuable. And you can offer that to somebody today. You can go and offer that to someone in this church to make them feel valuable. God planned for us to be adopted. He wants us to be adopted in the family of the Lord. And I believe this, that one thing, one little smile, you know, that's a word in action, okay? A smile is a word in action. It's nonverbal communication. When you smile, it's the beginning of love for people. When you smile at them, everyone can give a smile. How hard is it to smile? It just takes a few muscles. You know what I mean? It's not expensive. But you know, a smile can signify to someone, you're accepted. You're approved. A smile. How hard is that? You know, my husband always comes to me and he's so cute. He goes, you know, Lori, when you smile, the whole world smiles back. And I just want to encourage you and tell you, you know, Pastor Tom has got such a great heart. He's got the heart to be able to encourage people into the things of the Lord. And that is such a beautiful thing. When he says something to me, when he encourages me, it just goes such a long way. And I know that I appreciate that. How many of you appreciate that too, when Pastor Tom encourages you? It goes such a long way. You see, how many of us, though, need to realize that Pastor Tom, myself, and other leaders here, we can't do all that encouragement. We can't reach everybody. But if you could do that with someone, if you could be that smile, if you could be that encouraging word, then we'll grow. Then we'll grow to the place where God wants us to be. If you could be that encouraging word, if you could be that smile, that is what our job is, and that's what our responsibility is here. Most people spend so much time, though, I've noticed this. And this is personally, I remember feeling that sense of rejection, I know. When I was in high school, I didn't feel like I was valuable. I didn't feel like I was worthwhile. So I did everything I could to avoid rejection. Everything. Hide. You know, be by myself. Figure that, oh, you know, it's going to be okay. Nobody really needs me. And I avoided rejection in every way I could. Not wanting to develop good relationships. Avoiding rejection. How many of us really say that we hide to avoid rejection too sometimes? But the cool part about it is that, you know what? If you can get out of that and begin to share one word of encouragement, you'll find that most people will not reject that word of encouragement. They might not be all smiles about it. They might not be all, yeah, thank you, thank you. But they won't care. How many of you would deny a word of encouragement and say you wouldn't want one? Anybody out there? Do you want to know how we can reach the world? Right there. Right there. Who's going to deny a word of encouragement? Who's going to deny someone saying, well, you really look good in that color? You know, when you come in, you add value to this church. You add value to this ministry. You add value to your job. Who's going to resist that? You see, this is the thing. This is the reason why the enemy fights this so much. And because it's like when we came to Milwaukee, it was we found that other places of the world, we traveled a lot of different places, and we found that Milwaukee had a little bit of a negative spirit. It was a little critical more than other places. And I found that this is where the light comes in. This is where our responsibility is. We're called to be salt and light. So where are we going to change? In this one area. And who's going to spearhead it? You will. You will. You'll be the salt. You'll be the light. You'll be the sprinkling by sharing the compliments, the encouraging words to people to make them realize that you are salt. You're someone that really loves Jesus. How are they going to know Jesus unless they hear a word of encouragement? How are they going to know that God believes in them unless you share a word of encouragement? How are they going to know that God is love if they're receiving the pointing of the finger? Remember this. Remember, there's a song that I love so much. It's really powerful. The words go, that we judge our brother. But the Bible says this, and the words of the song say that the people are going to Jesus, but they're tripping over us because we're pointing the finger. Instead, we could be the one that encourages them and the one that tells them how much God loves them and how much God believes in them. And then, as we accentuate the positive, they'll be drawn to the Lord. Remember, Zena, when you said you came to the Lord because it was a lot of people banding around about you, praying for you, believing in you, encouraging you, praying for you? That's what happens. When we band around each other, encourage one another, believe together, stand together, that's when people come to Jesus. And so our ministry, the ministry of encouragement, is the most important ministry that we carry on this earth. It really is. One of the best ways to show love is by not mentioning the little mistakes that people make. How about that? Ooh, that's a good one. Not mentioning those little mistakes. One of the worst things is to make a mistake bigger by finding that someone else has broadcast your mistake everywhere else. Perhaps my husband and I would forget to pick an item up at the store, and I've learned to do this. If I say, honey, please could you help pick up this thing at the store? I need some laundry detergent, you know? And he comes home and he doesn't have the laundry detergent. One of the things that I've learned is that the first part about me wanted to say, you know, a long time ago when I was married to Pastor Tom, I wasn't as secure. But I used to think, well, he forgot about me. He doesn't care about me. I'm rejected. Instead, now I turn that around and I realize that my job is to cover a mistake and to say, oh, that's okay. I'll go and pick it up at the store. I'll do it. And now we make a habit of doing that. If each other forgets about stuff, we're kind of battling over who's going to go get it. Okay, should I go back and get it or should you go back and get it? And we kind of work it out between us. But when you're not living that life of encouragement, it can be really bad. Because I used to go hide in a closet thinking that he forgot about me. That's the spirit of rejection. So the little things that we do can either irritate us or they can put us over if we let them go. If we let people's little mistakes go, we can make those little mistakes and just, you know, cover them over with love. And then wouldn't you rather, like, love a person than harp on how bad they made a mistake? Okay, it's getting kind of quiet in here. I know I'm hitting something. Okay, wouldn't you rather believe in someone? Wouldn't you rather show them their worth and value? That's the decision that we have to make. Are we going to show someone their worth and value, or are we going to comment on their little mistakes, that they didn't pick up their underwear, they didn't roll their toothpaste right, or, you know, they forgot something at the store, or something like that? You see, it's just not worth it. Those little things, it's just not worth it. People are actually, get this, we're actually weakened each time that we remind somebody, you know, how should I, can I say this with, with great love and respect. People are actually weakened each time they're reminded of something they did not do right. They're actually weakened by that. They start to get paralyzed, and you start to get hurt by that. When prayer and accentuating the positive is actually a better method of changing the situation in a relationship, in a marriage, and in a church. Let me show you how God talks, okay? Romans chapter 4. Let me show you how God talks. It's in Romans chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. This is what he did with Abraham, Father Abraham. Father Abraham at first did not have the faith to go into the promised land. He didn't have the faith to conceive a child. The Bible says he had to grow in faith, and when his faith was finally perfected, he received the promise. But notice what God did in the meantime until Abraham's faith was perfected. Abraham, God called Abraham the father of many nations. So God calls things that be not as though they were. Woo! God calls things that be not as though... Can I put that up there, Romans chapter 4, verse 16 through 17? Can we put that on the overhead? Let me show you this. See, this ties in with this whole thing. When we make a big deal out of people's strengths and what they do right, then they are motivated to overcome their weaknesses and their faults. When we make more of an emphasis, a big deal out of people's strengths and what they do right, they are motivated to overcome their weaknesses and their faults. So let's look at the way God calls us, okay? Therefore, the promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, which we are, okay? Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, which is us. He is the father of us all. Abraham is our father. He's the father of great faith. And this is the way faith speaks. Okay, take a look at this. Verse 17, God says this, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. Now, God called Abraham a father when he wasn't a father, so that he could be a father. God calls us lovely even when we're not, so that we will be lovely. Now, I mean, that's an awesome scripture. I mean, that's an awesome principle. Do you want to see something change in your marriage? Then call things that be not as though they were. Say, for instance, your husband forgets things a lot. Then tell him and notice every single time he remembers things and comment and say, thank you, you have a good memory. And pretty soon those words are going to go deep within his spirit, and those words become spirit, and they become life. And they will literally change a person. That's the power of the ministry of encouragement. That's the power of encouraging words. Laurel will tell you this if she was here, and she's up with the children right now, but she said this, one of the things that confused her the most and set her on course when she was a young child, reprobate, running around doing things that were not right, is when I would notice everything that she did right and I would comment it and I would comment on it over and over again and I would say, Laurel, you're such a good daughter. And she would go, it confused the devil. It just confuses the devil. Seriously, it does. Because you know, that there are things that are wrong inside of you. You know the things that are wrong. But guess what? You want what this good word is saying. And so you'll go towards this good word. Your behavior will then start to go towards that which someone has prophesied over you. This is the power of words I'm speaking. I'm talking about the ministry of encouragement, how we change the course of our life and how we change the course of people's lives is that we've patterned our words like God, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. You see that? Is that going deep? He calls things that are not. Abraham was not a father, but he called him a father. He said he's a father, and he became a father. My daughter was not a good daughter at one time, but I called her a good daughter. She became a good daughter. You call things that be not as though they are. Now, how many times do we have to do that? Until the faith comes. God kept doing it. God kept doing it. God kept doing it. I'm telling you, he kept doing it with Abraham. He called, every time his name was going out, he says, Abraham. He was saying, Father of nations, Father of nations, Father of nations. And Abraham's faith then grew and grew and grew. You know, when our irritations over little things is bigger than the problem, sometimes our irritations over little things is bigger than the problem itself that we comment on. Seriously. You know, we start making efforts, though, to begin to compliment people in the area where they do things right. And God will begin to bring forth the good in others. Remember, the very heart of encouragement is to communicate a person's value. A value. So when you tell your daughter, when you tell your sons, when you tell your mother, when you tell your spouse that you value them, that they are good, they're good to you. Thank you for being good to me. That then becomes what they become. Now, I'm telling you, this is not some psychic principle. This is not some urethral New Age idea. This is God's idea. This is God's way of thinking. This is what he does right here. I'm not going against Scripture. I'm aligning my thoughts to the Word of God. Because God calls things that be not as though they were. And some people might say I'm lying, but I'm not lying. I'm believing. And there is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that. That is the way God thinks. That is the way God looks at us. That is the way he sees us. That is the way he values us. He sees us as a finished product. And I'm wanting you to understand today how valuable you really are. Now, let me share with you from this story. This is so good. This is a little chapter from a man by the name of John C. Maxwell. Have you ever heard of John C. Maxwell? This is a very, very encouraging thing. I want to share with you this story here today. Encouragement, he says, is incredible. The impact can be profound and nearly miraculous. Never underestimate the power of encouragement. In the 1920s, a physician, a consultant, and a psychologist, George W. Crane, began teaching social psychology at Northwestern University in Chicago. Though he was new to teaching, he was an astute student of human nature, and he believed strongly in making the study of psychology practical to his students. One of the first classes he taught contained evening students who were older than the average college student. The young men and women worked in the department stores, offices, and factories of Chicago by day and were trying to improve themselves by attending classes at night. After class one evening, a young woman named Lois, who had moved to Chicago from a small town in Wisconsin to take a civil service job, confided in Crane that she felt isolated and very lonely. "I don't know anybody except a few girls at the office," she said. Now, John C. Maxwell is an excellent teacher for people who are in business. I mean, he's a very good leader, and he has a specific anointing to be able to help business leaders. And this is what happened here. Get this. "The only thing that keeps me from living from day to day is the hope of receiving a letter from my friends in Wisconsin." It was largely in response to Lois's problem that Crane came up with what he called a compliment club. Now, this is important, a compliment club, which he announced to his class the following week. It was to be the first of several practical assignments that he would give his students that term. You are to use your psychology every day, either at home or at work or on the streetcars and the buses. Crane told them, for the first month, your written assignment will be from the compliment club. Every day you are to pay an honest compliment to each of three different people. You can increase that number if you wish, but to qualify for a class grade, you must have complimented at least three people every day for 30 days. Then at the end of the 30-day experiment, I want you to write a theme or a paper on your experiences. Include the changes you have noted in the people around you, as well as your own change in your altered outlook on life. Some of Crane's students resisted the assignment. Some complained that they wouldn't know what to say. Others were afraid of being rejected. And a few thoughts were written down. And it was very important. A few thought it would be dishonest to compliment someone they didn't like. Suppose you meet somebody you dislike, one man said. Wouldn't it be insincere to praise your enemy? Get this. No, the Bible says to love your enemy. No, it's not insincerity when you compliment your enemy, Crane responded. For the compliment is an honest statement of praise for some objective trait or merit that deserves commendation. You will find that nobody is entirely devoid of merit or virtue. Your praise may buoy up the morale of a lonely soul who is almost ready to give up the struggle to do good works. You never know when your casual compliment may catch a boy or girl, a man or a woman, at the critical point when he would otherwise toss in the sponge, throw in the towel. Crane's students discovered that their sincere compliments had a positive impact on people all around them, and the experience made an even greater impact on the students themselves. Lois blossomed into a real people person who lit up a room wherever she entered. Another student was ready to quit her job as a legal secretary because of an especially difficult boss who she had. And that boss then began turning around, complimenting her, and it changed. It changed. Eventually, not only did his surliness toward her change, but so did her exasperation with him. They wound up taking a genuine liking to each other and eventually, get this, were married. George Crane's Compliment Club probably sounds a little bit corny to us today, but the principles behind it are just as sound now as they were in the 1920s. The bottom line is that Crane was teaching what is important is called elevating people, showing them value. Giving them value is the principle. He was trying to teach his students to be proactive. Crane said, the world is starving for appreciation. It's so hungry for compliments. Do you want to win someone to the Lord? Encourage them right into the arms of Jesus. Somebody must start this ball rolling, though, by speaking first and saying a nice thing to your companions. God says, we got to start. You know, Ben Franklin said this too, as we must account for every idle word, so we must account for every idle silence. Wow. Now, remember this, oxygen has to be given to every one of us, right? Do you know that an encouraging word is oxygen to your soul? It's oxygen to your soul. I'm going to say to you something radical, okay, right now, and I want you to understand this. I know that you wouldn't listen to anything that I had to say up here unless you knew that I really cared for you. I do know that, because there's a principle, and this is the principle, okay? Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Nobody cares how much you know unless they know how much you care. And everybody in the body of Christ is directly related to each other. We are the body. We are the body of Christ. We are connected, interrelated with one another. You know, I ministered this past Wednesday night on God's unconditional love. And when I ministered that, I saw the Spirit of God hover upon people, because my deepest commitment is in this word that I speak today. My deepest commitment is to be able to be kind and tender-hearted to people. I don't really care if anything else comes to pass in my life. If this one thing comes to pass, if I can be kind to people, if I can be tender-hearted, if I can be unselfish with others, I've lived the life of Christ. I have lived the life that God wants me to live. Because I've noticed that when I get so busy trying to do something that may be my own agenda, God always pulls me back. He pulls me back and he says, remember, I promised you this. Remember, water flows to the lowest place. When we seek to be the servant of all, God comes. Jesus said it like this: unless you become the servant of all, you are not my disciple. And Jesus said this. He said that in order to become great, you must become the least. In order to have life, you have to come down where death is and embrace death and say, I love you. I love you. You embracing someone who's maybe sick or impoverished or in some kind of a poverty situation, and you love them right out of that. It becomes so powerful. We have got to understand that those words of encouragement are the beginning of sharing hope and life with people. Every time, you know, even the most negative person, Jesus loves. Even the most, even the most depraved person, Jesus loves. And if Jesus were standing there talking to that person who is filled with hate and filled with bitterness and filled with malice and throwing stones and maybe even javelins, like David had javelins thrown at him through Saul, he was able to perfect in him this love where he said to Saul, he said, I'm not against you. I could have taken this garment and ripped it off, and I could have, you know, I saw you in your sleep. I was this close to you. I took off the hem of your garment. I came this close to actually taking your life. Saul, why do you accuse me? David was a man of encouragement. His men loved him so much because he encouraged them. He told them things that they needed to hear. We're starving inside for encouragement, and we don't even know it sometimes. That's what you need. You need someone in this church telling you something good, because we're the body of Christ. You need somebody saying something good. So I know I'm speaking from the heart of God right now. So many times we think that other people know it. We think that they know it, but they don't know it. They're craving for attention. Every one of us needs love. And so when I say this, I'm saying if we want to have a strong body that really is growing and filled with love, we need to make this the most important thing we do when we come to church, is to give compliments, to give encouragement to one another. Because the Bible says encourage one another and build each other up. Now, there's other ways in which we can do that. Through words of encouragement, there's many ways of showing love. But we could do this. We could also spend quality time with people. We can give them our time. We can give them our acts of service. Show them that we care by baking a cake or loving them, you know, by babysitting their children. Those acts of service are so important. Or through physical touch, by holding someone and saying, you're so special to me. You know, think about it. Think about Lorna over here, living alone all day. A widow who doesn't have anyone. You know, women need about 12 meaningful hugs a day. When we come to church, we need to give Lorna 12 meaningful hugs. Because she doesn't get them. She doesn't have a husband. She doesn't have anybody around her, you know. Meaningful hugs, gestures of care, like, you mean a lot. Those are very valuable to people. They make people feel valuable. And then there's the whole aspect of giving. when we slip out of our comfort zone and we say, hey, here's some spending money. You know, how many of you know that you feel valuable if someone would write you a note today at church? Someone will write you a note and say, here's a little spending money. Wouldn't you feel valuable? You would feel valuable. These are ways in which we can show others that they're valuable. And so I'm believing today that the Holy Spirit will give us this great commitment where we can look at the most negative person and find something good. And I'm going to encourage every one of you today to do this. Would you do this? Would you say, I'm going to make an effort from now on to encourage people? You know, there's so much negativity in this world. I'm telling you, this world is filled with negativity. I'm gonna ask you here, think about this. A subjective person came along and said, I feel for you down there. An objective person came along and said, well, it's logical that someone would fall down there. A Pharisee said, only bad people fall into pits. A mathematician calculated how the individual fell into the pit. A news reporter wanted an exclusive story on the person in the pit. A fundamentalist said, you deserve the pit. A Calvinist said, if you'd been saved, you've never fallen into that pit. An American said, you were saved and still fell in that pit. A charismatic said, just confess that you're not in that pit. A realist came along and said, now that's a pit. A geologist told him to appreciate the rock strata in the pit. And an IRS worker asked if he was paying taxes on this pit. The county inspector asked if he had a permit to dig the pit. And a self-pitying person said, you haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit. The optimist said, things could be worse. A pessimist said, things will get worse. But, get this, Jesus, seeing the man, reached down and took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. That's love in action. Jesus came to die for people. Jesus, he came to die for people. He believed that deep down everyone wants to become. I believe this. And Jesus did too. Everyone wants and needs encouragement and wants to be an encourager. Everyone knows Jesus will lift them up. But deep down inside, the devil works so hard at telling people over and over again that they're worthless. See, look at that person over there. They're doing this. See, look at that church over there. They're doing this. You're not doing this. See, look at that beautiful lady over there. Look at her hair. Look at your hair. It looks like a mess. You know, I mean, he's always, always throwing those fiery darts. But if we can overcome in this body by having so much encouragement, so many people telling us that we're loved, accepted, believed in, and commenting on those things that are good and holy and perfect, I'm telling you, it just blow the devil out of the water. He wouldn't have a chance. He wouldn't have a chance. People walking in this church would never want to leave if they were hounded by three people who gave him a compliment. I'm serious. That will happen because you're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're all going to do it. When we have visitors here, you're going to tell them. They're going to be so surrounded by people complimenting, they'll go, man, that church is wild. I've never been around somebody like this. They're high in God. Yeah, and that's what we want. We want people that are high on Jesus. Amen? He's the most high. He is the most high. And so today, I'm going to ask you to stand because we're going to make a resolution in our heart to change some things, to catch someone doing something right and notice it, to give someone a sincere compliment, to assist someone in need, to offer someone a shoulder to cry on. Here, I'll talk to you. I'll listen. Celebrate when someone succeeds. Oh, boy, is that important or what? You know, how many of you realize, I remember one time when I was given something, and I was really praying for this. I was praying for this item because I really believed that God wanted me to have this. It was a piece of an item of clothing. And I believed, Lord, I believe that I can receive this. I believe that I can get this new coat, you know. And then I remember someone walking in, and they said, guess what? God gave me a new coat. And I remember thinking to myself, God gave you a coat? You know what I'm saying? This is B.C. This is before I was really saved. You know, I mean, really saved and living for Jesus. God gave you a coat? And here I am, preacher. You see what I mean? It's so nasty that spirit of condemnation could just eat away at us. And this person was not even living for God. I knew she was a very, very bitter person, unforgiving, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And God gave her a coat before he gave me a coat. But it was to show me a lesson and to teach me that God wanted to love that person to Jesus. And I really didn't even need that coat that much, but she did. She did. You see, when we become bearers of good news instead of bearers of bad news, we operate in the ministry of Christ. So I think we can do this today. Let's act now. Let's keep in mind. Hallelujah. This is a quote that I've always loved, and I'm going to read it to you. I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any fellow person, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall never pass this way again. Never. You only have one life to live. Dedicate to being the most encouraging person in the world. Lift your hands right now. Dedicate to doing it. Dedicate to being a complimenter. Finding someone to compliment and being a servant. I want us all to do it to one another. And you know what? Pastor Tom and I and Laurel are not exempt from needing that. Bible says, remember I said yesterday, encourage one another. Encourage Joshua, for he shall lead you into the promised land. I'm just going to confess to you something today. This week was the hardest week of my life. This week was the hardest week of my whole life. I had three different times where the devil came to me and said, you quit. You're not doing enough. You just throw in the towel. Just quit. And I rose up and I said, devil, you're a liar. You're a liar. You see, he comes to us all. He comes to us all, and he tells us things that are not true. But it's those words of encouragement. It's when God turned to me and he said, I love you so much, Lori. I believe in you. I love you, and you're doing what I ask you to do. And when I turned to the Lord, I encouraged myself in the Lord. He gave me hope. He told me, don't quit. If it happened to me, it surely must happen to you sometimes. You surely must get those enemy attacks also. God wants to encourage you today and tell you, you're not alone. God's with you. He's helping you. He'll sustain you in a time of need. He'll lift you up. He'll be there for you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. But you know, it's interesting because it's through the body that we become more profitable. And it's through the body that we can help each other. And you know, sometimes we need to be Jesus in the flesh to people. We need to be Jesus in the flesh because, you know, who would have known that your own leader is being attacked and being told by the devil to quit the ministry. Who would have ever thought that? That's why we need to encourage one another. That's why we need to lift each other up and be Jesus to each other. Because you don't know this, but there are a lot of people, there are a lot of pastors out there. Majority of pastors in the United States are quitting because they have no one to lift them up. And majority of people are leaving Jesus because there's not a body working together to say, I love you, you're beautiful, you've done this or this or this or this. Thank you so much. We really need to do that for each other so that we can band together and eliminate the accuser of the brethren, because that's all he does is accuse us before God night and day. And so I'm going to stand right now to tell you this. I encourage you to compliment one another, to bless one another, because none of you are exempt from the enemy coming against you and saying, you just quit, you just commit suicide, just go to be with the Lord. He's a dumb devil. He's a dumb devil. He is. He's a liar. And I want to pray over you right now, because just as the Lord ministered courage to me and told me that the devil was a liar, I tell you today, he is a liar. And God will lift you up right now. Reach your hands out to Jesus. Just reach your hands out to Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to thank you for every person here in this church. I want to thank you for them. I want to thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to minister to them. They're so precious to you. And I thank you for the opportunity, Lord. I thank you so much that you've chosen me to be one of their pastors, their leaders. I pray that the enemy would not overtake them, that he would not put them down, that he would not come in and say lies that would try to infect their soul. Oh, Jesus, may we be the body of Christ. May we be the encouraging words to others that lift them out. May we compliment one another, Lord, and may this be a turning point in all of our lives today, Lord, that even as we have received, Lord, love from you, that you also give love through us to others. Thank you for that. I just want to pray for you right now. Would you receive the blessing of the Lord? The Lord is smiling upon you. He's gracious unto you. He's lifting up his countenance upon you. And he's granting you great peace, a peace that the world cannot even begin to understand. So don't let your hearts be troubled. God says, don't let your heart be troubled, but be lifted up right now. Hallelujah. I'm going to open this altar up to ministry right now, but it's not me praying for you, because I believe that what is going to carry us to the new level of God is when we do this, when we encourage one another, and when we become the body. So for the rest of the service, it's just a holy moment. I want you to begin to turn to someone that you know, and maybe even someone that you'd like to get to know, and encourage them. Begin to do this.